Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm your host, Chris Stainis, and also the founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation and the conference. We are in our 30th year celebrating the divine feminine, women's spirituality. We've been doing it for so many years, and it's just a life-changing event and very exciting for us to present for everybody. And now online, it's virtual, so people from all over the US, Canada, even the world can join us. Our theme this year is celebrating our sacred pearls, nourishing the waters of the feminine. Yes, and so you can find out everything on our website at womanofwisdom.org. So today I have with us one of our workshop presenters, Heidi Thompson. She is doing a workshop called Bathe the Warrior, a ritual for healing our feminine warrior self. Heidi Thompson has led spiritual workshops and circles since 2003 when she began teaching Making Peace with Fear. She's the founder of Sacred Soul Gathering of Women, which honors many spiritual traditions in its retreats and online gatherings. She's the founder of softwaresideoflife.com, an H.P. Thompson company, a Baltimore-based PC software training firm. With 35 years of experience, Heidi brings a wealth of knowledge, interesting insights, and a warm and welcoming presence to her workshops. She is adjunct faculty at Johns Hopkins University and has an MAS from Johns Hopkins University and a BS from Bridgewater College. Her website is softwaresideoflife.com. So welcome, Heidi.
Thank you, Chris. It's so good to be here again with you.
Yes, well, this is your second year, so now you're an experienced WOW presenter.
I am, and I'm really excited to be here for your 30th anniversary. That's a big deal, and I just say congratulations to you and all of the women who have been a part of this all of these years.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, it is great. We've had so many wonderful presenters, whether they are our local presenters that are fabulous leaders and workshop presenters, to national authors and quite well-known author women leaders in our country. And yeah, so it's been great. It's quite a legacy. So tell us about your work with Soul Gatherings for Women.
So the Soul Gatherings for Women, I will tell you, since I was a child, I have longed to gather with other women and just have really deep and meaningful conversations. And I found it really hard to do. And it's a great story because I went to Seattle, and I was in Seattle, and I became a part of a group of women there that gathered in retreat and had these deep connections. And I returned back to the East Coast and I said, is it okay if I take what you've done here and create something similar on the East Coast? And they were like, absolutely. And that's how it came to be. And it was, I guess I founded it 4 years ago, and we did 1 year, year and a half of retreats. I guess it was almost 2 years of retreats. And then COVID hit. And so we have been online for 2 years. And like you, we love that we have women from literally all over the world. There's a woman that comes from Italy or London, some from Canada. And so, but to have just those deep, meaningful conversations that really connect on a soul deep level. And so much like you have been doing with your program all of these years.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So many women all over are looking for circles, and sometimes they don't know where to find them. So I know we used to get calls from women from, you know, little towns. There's nothing in their city. We used to be always in person. You know, is there something like yours in where I live? And yeah, so now it's online. We're hoping more and more people can find us because there is a need and women are calling for this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this year you're offering and presenting a ritual, Bathe the Warrior, a ritual for healing our feminine warrior self. So let's start off with sharing how you define a feminine warrior.
I love this question. So a feminine warrior, and I do think in terms of women when I use this term, but it is a woman who has been, so we've grown up in patriarchal times, you and I, and we came of age when the norm for how to speak, behave, achieve, was rooted in what we call masculine traits, that very hard driving force. Tears are not welcome. You don't meet in a circle. You've got hierarchy, et cetera, et cetera. And so that was the only thing I knew. And so that was the part of me that I developed. And I go out into the world and that's how I'm behaving. And I'm finding that even doing that, women are not accepted. And so I'm sorry, I was just sitting here waiting, you know, before our interview and thinking of all the times that I was the only woman in the room or that I had to fight hard to get a position because I was a woman and people didn't think women could do it. And so some of us have been in the streets marching and doing battle. Others of us have just had to struggle with that tug of there's something inside of me that just doesn't fit naturally in the world. And so feminine warriors to me are those of us who have wanted to take our rightful place in the world and have found it sometimes to be very difficult because of the masculine nature and the patriarchal nature of the world. And I don't want to point fingers and say that anything is right or wrong. However, when it's all one-sided, it becomes very difficult and we don't get the fullness of each human being. And we don't get to fully express who we are because men possess what we call feminine traits. Women possess what are masculine, you know, and we're all over the place. But a feminine warrior to me is someone who has lived through these times and has come up against times where either, you know, subtly or overtly, they have known because they are a woman that it's they're going to have to fight harder.
Yes, and even just to be seen, to be heard, to have, you know, how many people will tell you that, express an idea, and then all of a sudden, when a man expresses it, it's accepted or heard, or the rest of the group go, oh, that's a great idea, when you were the one that first instigated it. I mean, you hear stories like that, and it's disheartening, And then you have to have that hard edge, you know, that warrior stance, which can come across as masculine too. So what is the feminine warrior is that, you know, trusting yourself and knowing yourself and knowing feminine warrior is fierce. You know, women aren't just docile creatures. There is a fierceness. There is a, you know, the mama bear protecting their cubs, that kind of energy, and yet it's not accepted. Because, well, then, you know, we're called the other names.
Exactly. And that's what this ritual is about. It's about marking that there's a change afoot. And how we were doing battle, we now have the capacity to be that warrior that you were just describing. And I am with you. I think that the feminine warrior in its truest sense is just making a stand. And you don't have to do battle and you don't have to fight. You make that stand and you hold it fiercely. Mm-hmm. And there's a fierceness, but it's not a this kind of
stuff.
And so, yeah, and to really to honor that and to, yeah.
And to do it with others, to be supported by other women. I mean, that's what goes on in Women of Wisdom, is a place for women to share their stories, to be heard, to be witnessed. And as you're a witness, there's healing for everybody. Because as you hear somebody else's story, you recognize yourself in that. And then there's a healing, you know, for everyone in the group, there's a piece of healing. But we need to support the women. There's so much, you know, comparison and competition and that we're kind of grown up with. And we need to let that go and together be warriors. Stand, you know, we might have different opinion, but, you know, be respectful and honoring the differences that we have, but support other women, you know, support our women leaders. And so much we see that backlash of women leaders from even from other women. And, you know, we need to let that go. And so we've been talking about why it's important to access this warrior aspect of ourselves. So what will come about, do you think, when we finally do?
I think we are. So I think we're in the midst of this. And that's, if you look back historically, there are indigenous stories that come from different cultures in North and South America is where I found them, that point to this time that the feminine is going to emerge in a much larger way. And it points not just to the fact that women will rise to places of leadership and power, but the feminine within each human being is going to be honored in a deeper way. And so I see that. I think really with our generation that really became there were certainly women before that, but it became a bigger, something you could see more of. And I think that we have in many ways landed in that. It's not fully seen yet, but I have to tell you, what was it in the last election, when I saw a man on TV weeping over something that had been said or done, I thought, oh my, the world has changed. And no one called this man out. Everyone pointed to him as being a caring feeling. And I thought, something has changed. Something has changed. It doesn't mean that we're there yet, but I really see, and I have young daughters that are, they're in their 40s now, but they are in the world very different. And their struggles are not like mine were when I was in my 40s. And so that's part of it. And so being able to come together and to acknowledge what was the past, whether we lived it or not, and then to really embrace and make a stand for the future. And I think it's our souls that really need this. And that's what, you know, that's what ritual is about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's, you know, you're talking about your younger daughters, you know, in their 40s, and then even younger women, 20s and 30s, I find is giving us hope. They kind of come from a different generation, a different mindset, probably, different value. They might look at us and kind of askance, but actually, I find baby boomers relate to the younger women. It's like sometimes you lose there's a gap in between, like grandmothers to granddaughters, and a connection, even though there is some blame of, well, you baby boomers, you left the scene. and yeah, we probably had, but you know, I probably, because that battle was so strong, we had to survive and live in the world, but we're still there wanting these changes. And I just think the hope of the next generations, we need the hope.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. And young women, so the Sacred Soul Gathering of Women, we women come of all ages. I mean, they're from 20s to probably 80 or more. And it's interesting to watch the bonds that are formed. And I do know my daughters, and I'm trying to think if I've heard from younger women, will say, I know my life is different because of all that you lived and did. And that generation is so grateful and really acknowledges. And so, yeah, I think it's just important that we look at our ancestors and where we have come, because we are standing on their shoulders. And then we allow the future to pull us.
Right, right. Yeah, and there's elders before us that came through, started the feminine. The books on women's spirituality that came through and this started to come through the 70s and 80s. And when I first started Woman Wisdom in 93, there was several bookcases in bookstores of women's spirituality. And I actually think it's kind of shrunk when I go in and look at, you know, libraries and bookstores now. But those books are still just as powerful. Like, we're having Rhianne Eisler as one of our speakers, and she had the Chalice and the Blade. She spoke at Woman of Wisdom, I think 1996, 78, somewhere in there in the 90s. And it's in the Woman Wisdom book, because I transcribed some of the talks of our great speakers, and it's still relevant today. You know, the messages that are in these books are still relevant. It's still for empowering women and women's voices and strengthening the feminine in all beings. And it's great to see it coming through in men too. And surrendering to that, because there's a lot that's difficult for them. And we need to honor that in this world that, you know, that they live in. There's an expectation of being, you know, the man, and that whole patriarchal culture that doesn't really accept the feminine in men or feelings being shown in men. And we need to honor the men that feel safe and comfortable to do that.
I have a lot of compassion for men these days, because the other thing I think for them is that there are centuries where men dominated. It was a patriarchal world. And for now to be moving to more of a place of balance, they've got centuries of stuff within them that is having to shift from that position of power. And I just have a lot of compassion. And I know some men are having a harder time than others. Some men are just embracing it. It's like, phew, I can be who I am. I think of my father. I wish he had been living now. He possessed so much of the feminine that just had to get stuffed down. And I think that was really hard. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can see my father and the feminine, my father, but he was more, you know, he was Norwegian. And I find a softness in that culture and the men there, having visited all his family is still in Norway. So it's interesting. So there's some cultural things too. So I'm curious because, you know, in your description, you talk about the ancient practice of women bathing men returning from war. Tell us about that. Where and when did that happen? And I know that relates to this ritual of bathing ourselves.
So I first heard of this. I worked about 5 or 6 years ago with an Irish poet, and I actually got his first book of poetry published. And so I got to know him. We worked together a lot. We did it, you know, on Zoom and the computer, and he would just share stories, ancient stories. And one of them was of, and he said, I just feel like I want to be one of those ancient warriors that would come home and be bathed by the women and just nurtured and held so that I could just come back into the community without carrying the war on me. He said, I just feel like I've been, and his life had been really difficult for about 20 years. And he said, I can see I'm coming out of this really difficult time. And it had enriched his poetry in just a huge way. So he knew why he had lived that. It had been his journey. But he was just longing for a place to be held and to have the weariness of that sort of washed off of him. And as I sat with that, and it was at about the same time that I heard of stories of these indigenous stories that it in the beginning of the year 2000, that the feminine is to come into greater prominence. And they just started to mix inside of me. And I thought, oh my gosh, I would love to be bathed too. I would love to come into a space and just be able to put down all that masculine energy I've had to carry to make it in this world and to say, okay, it's a new time. And to then go and to really put a stake in the ground for this new time and this person that I know myself to be, but to just really take that time. And I think with ritual, it is our soul saying, stop, let's do something. Let's pause and acknowledge. And let's say, yes, there was a weariness to that. And yes, let's march into the future in this new way. And let's do it together. And I find I've done this ritual probably 10 times now. And mostly, I guess the biggest group is maybe 15 or 20. I find people individually, everybody has a slightly different experience, and they're just profound experiences. And then we come and we share what's happened as a group. And as a group, we can see something that has happened. And then some of the groups I've done it with, people know each other. And as they've shared their experiences, they've gotten something else from it. There's something about this sacred shared experience that connects us and can change us. I think you were talking, we started about healing. And yeah.
Yeah, when we can share our experiences, share our stories, oftentimes I found, and even for myself, I was at a woman's camp for 5 years before I could share a story. They had a story night. And I would just like, oh, I don't have a story. Everybody's story is so poignant. It was so moving. It was, you know, what do I have to share? And then this voice would go like, Chris, you know, this is a little ridiculous. You traveled around the world. You've done this. And so finally, after 5 years, I had to get my courage up and I shared my story. And people came up to me afterwards and appreciating it. And then next year I was asked to be the lead story to get things going. And so I recognized that, I mean, it's actually selfish of me to not share my story because people heal from it. As even if you touch one person, and invariably if I'm nudged to in my gut to say something, to share something, someone invariably, so I'm so glad you said that. So I'm saying it for other people, for them to recognize. It's not for me. And we get so self-conscious about sharing and who we are because we're so embarrassed or the shame, the guilt. And And we need to let that go because it's a collective energy that we're working together of allowing everybody to heal.
Yeah. And this is part, there's time and women get to share in small groups as well as a large group and share their stories. And there's magic that happens. There's magic. It's really interesting. I've been telling people what I do and they're like, oh, I've already done that years ago. And I'm like, but did you do it in a sacred space? There is something about setting a sacred space and doing it together that that really is transformative.
And to say I've already done that, well, when? 10, 20 years ago? You're a different person now. I mean, what's going to come up for you in going through another aspect of this? Because we're always changing, growing. We're in new stages of our life. You know, you and I are at that age where, you know, it's kind of like, well, what's the future? You know, what's, you know, we're not like, okay, we've done in the world what we're supposed to do, and now we just retire. No, we're not retiring. We're continuing our work. And so we still face things that we need to be washed off of ourselves. And it's a constant thing. Just to say you've finished the work and you don't need to do that anymore, I see a problem there.
I'm like you. I'm constantly growing, changing, wanting to shed. And there's something in pausing to recognize what you're letting go of and recognizing what you're moving towards and embracing. There is something that when we pause to do that, gives each of them, we do it with greater ease and gives it more significance. And I think in our culture, we were like, we're just hurrying along all the time. And to pause and notice that there is something powerful happens, at least for me, I will say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the women I've shared this with, and you know, I was thinking of all the different women I've shared this with. And in one group I've shared it with are women that are coming out of prison and who are coming from homelessness. And you want to hear some powerful stories that come out of this ritual for these women.
See, and that's where the work is too. We need to be holding our hands out, you know, so, okay, I've grown. I don't need this for myself. I'm grown. I'm a healthy, feminine warrior, whatever. And yet we are needing to go into service and hold our hand out for others to achieve this too, for others to see the value in it. And you're doing that by, you know, reaching those communities where it's needed. And so that's kind of where we're at, Woman of Wisdom now. And I've noticed that the last 10 years, there's a need to switch it of, oh, I'm coming to heal. I'm coming to figure out my next life issue. I'm coming for, you know, for me to receive. But there's a need to also switch and realize you're coming to give to others. And we need to be giving service in that. So there's a giving and receiving. There's an exchange. And as that, then women grow as a collective, our consciousness, which then impacts the whole world.
Oh, it does. And I love that you say, yeah, there's an exchange. The word that came to me as you were speaking that is there's a balance. And that's what it's about with the feminine and the masculine, to really acknowledge that there's both and to be able to hold all of it and really honor all of it. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that.
Well, I know that it's going to be a fabulous ritual, and doing it in ritual creates a safety, a container for this to happen. And that's important. And I know you know how to do that. But one of the things I'm asking every presenter is how your workshop fits in with the theme, celebrating our sacred pearls, honoring the nourishing, same thing really, but nourishing the waters of the feminine.
Nourishing the waters of the feminine. Bathing involves water. Bathing, I think, and water to me is oh so feminine. It's those emotions. It's the flow. And that's what this ritual is about. It is about bathing the feminine and in a sacred and holy way. And just as a pearl is something of great value that has come about through rubbing and struggle, you know, it is looking at the struggle and the beauty in that, that there is a real beauty in and acknowledging that beauty becomes really important. So every time I hear you say that or I read that, I'm like, oh, this just fits right in. It fits right.
Yeah. Well, and it's rich. And that theme came out of a meditation. I know many of us were, pearls came up, and for me, it was a pearl in the center in the heart of a woman. And then one of our council members drew the painting that's part of our graphic, is a woman radiating this pearl from her heart. And it's just a beautiful image. And like, and I've been wearing my pearls in most my interviews, and we're all talking about wearing pearls at the conference. And so it's, you know, it's a real symbol, and it's something our elders did. You know, pearls were very valuable to our elders. I have pearls, their strands are broken, but for my aunt and my mom. And, you know, now it isn't so popular to be wearing pearls. Maybe we'll be bringing back the consciousness of wearing value of pearls.
You notice what's in my ears?
Now I see, yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's so great to have you on the show today, Heidi, and thank you so much.
Chris, thank you. It's just a delight and an honor to be here with you and to be a part of your conference. Thank you.
Yes, so we're so glad to have you. So stay tuned. A few more presenters I'll be interviewing next week, and go to the website, womenofwisdom.org, to learn more, register, and we hope to see you there. Thank you.